Okay, Rabbi said this week is Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh is always Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Elul. Okay, first thing is Re'eh Anochi Nosim Lefnechem Hayon Baracha Uklola. Okay, so first let's start with a nice little drush. This is not my vart. It's a little frightening to begin with a pasuk that concludes with the word klola. See that I put before you today a baracha uklola. Rashi says, actually first what it says later on in the next parasha, two parashas of Har Grizim and Har Evil, the baracha uklola. It's frightening. Opening pasuk in the parasha comes to Erev Rosh Chodesh, coming to a Mevarchim Chodesh Elul, you refer to a klola. So the Mefarshim say, it's not what it means. It means, I give you the bracha, and the word uklola is Rosh Etevos, v'keren kayemes lo lo'olam haba. I give you today a bracha, but the bracha is just a token of what yet you have to, of what you will receive in the next world. So the bracha is kula bracha. I give you a bracha hayoyim. As the pasuk goes on to say, in the next pasuk you're going, you'll be mekayim the mitzvos. It's going to be again a bracha. Vav is vikaren, kuf is kayemes, lamed lo. The next lamed lo oilam haba. That is a very beautiful twist to understand shat in the pasuk. Okay, next. No, Rash, I told you it was a drush. Rash does not say this. I'm telling you a little bit of drush. Okay, next idea. I came across this in the Sefer. I don't know the name of the Sefer, but he says something very, very fascinating. And he says that as follows is that there is, I don't know anything about these in Yonim, but it appears that there is no Zohar on Parshas Re'eh. Okay, Zohar, there are sections of Zohar. I'm not familiar with all different sources of the Zohar, but there is no Zohar specifically designated for Parshas Re'eh. And the question is, why not? Why don't we have a Zohar? Why, from all of the Parshas, has Parshas Re'eh lost out on his elucidation of the secrets that go on in the world? So the answer is as follows. In Gemara and Shas, whenever you learn a new sugya, the Gemara always begins, Toshma, come and hear. We say Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael. Shema means to hearken, it means to understand, it means to listen, but simply it means to listen. This is an inyan of Shania. The Zohar, when he begins a new section, does not use the word Ta Shema, but use the word Ta or Bo Chazi, come and see. Because the whole essence of Zohar, of Kabbalah, of mysticism, is to see things in a different light. Is to see things through the prism of the hidden nature of the Torah. And that's exactly what he's coming to do. The Torah is the pshat, and pshat, we listen, shema, shemiya. And this world is a world of shemiya, of listening, absorbing, and understanding. Shema also comes to the as related to understanding. And in the world of Kabbalah, it's different. It's a revelation. It's gilui, like a vision. A vision is a chazoin. So therefore, the Zohar writes to begin his sections with bo chazi or to chazi, come and see. Therefore, this Mefarish says that is exactly why we don't have a Zohar for Parshas Re'eh, because the parsha begins with the word Re'eh, see. In other words, the pshat in Parshas Re'eh, we have to appreciate that this parsha, when we come to Chodesh Elul, is in a different level than all the other parshios in the Torah. All the parshios in the Torah are in the category, they fall into the category of shemiya, of listening. Parshas Re'eh, toshma, every parsha, toshma, learn daf gemara, pshat, toshma, come in here, let's understand what's going on in the gemara. When you come to Chodesh Elul, you come into the moment, the month when we come to Yom HaDin, and we come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Ani Li Doidi V'Doidi Li, it's a whole new dimension of coming close to Hashem. We're on a madrig of Re'eh. There's a certain sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu is opening up for us new vistas of understanding, and therefore the Zohar does not need to comment. He does not need to say, come, toch hazi, come and see, when the Pshuta Shel Mikol already addresses and tells us, begins with the word Re'eh. Okay, let's now go to now. In fact, using that idea, let's elaborate upon that idea a little bit more, is that we are in this part of the parasha very interesting about Shiloh. You're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going, Hashem tells you, you should go and you shall destroy all of the Avodah Zarah. And it says, Rashi makes the point, Vavesem, you'll ki imal mokam ash pasakei. Okay, pasakei says, you come to Eretz Yisrael, and start with preparing your base, beginning of the first aliyah, Abe to Abdu, and it's called Mechamesh, Shor Abdu Shom Agoyim, Asher Atem Yoshem, Oysames Elohim. And on the mountains, you should destroy, you should demolish the Mizbechois and the Matzevois. And then it says, Ki'im el hamokoim, asher yivcha Hashem elokechem mikol shifteichem losum eshemo sham, l'shichnoi sidrushu uvos hasham. What does Rashi say, Pasuk Hey? What are we referring to? We're referring to Zeh Mishkan Shiloi. How did Mishkan Shiloi differ than the Beis HaMikdash? Klal Yisrael, they set up a Mishkan for 369 years in Shiloh. It's a very, very long time. They were in Gilgal for 14 years. That was a temporary structure. That was the Bama Katana. Okay, that wasn't the status of the Beis HaMikdash. And then they went to Shiloh for 369 years. And that was the Bama, that was the equivalent to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how did Shiloh differ than Yerushalayim? So the halacha is, when it comes to eating Kodshei Kalim in Yerushalayim, you can eat Kodshei Kalim within the walls of the city. What happens, what about Shiloh? Shiloh was not surrounded by walls. So where exactly were the limits of where you are allowed to eat Kodshei Kalim in Shiloh? So the Gemara says, V'chol horoyeh. As long as you can see it, you can eat Kodshei Kalim. Yerushalayim, you may be able to see Yerushalayim, you know, hotel room somewhere in Tel Aviv on the 80th floor, and you're able to go see Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, from your hotel room at night. Does so what? You're not allowed to eat Kodshei Kalim in Tel Aviv or any part of Eretz Yisrael, even if somehow you have a clear view, you can see Yerushalayim. In order to eat Kodshei Kalim, you have to be within the walls of Yerushalayim. When it comes to Shiloh, there were no walls. The limit of where you're allowed to eat Kodshei Kalim, the extension of that Kedusha, is Bechol Haroya, as if you can see Shiloh. So you see over here that the whole parasha itself, you have to study the parasha in much more detail, but a lot of the parasha, at the end of the parasha as well, what does the end of the parasha say? Is the Shalosh HaGolim. And what is the significance of the Shalosh HaGolim at the end of the parasha? Is Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yeroeh Kol Zuchurcha. Three times a year, all of your Zuchurcha, Yeroeh Kol Zuchurcha, all of your male shall appear, shall be seen. Chazal Darshan, Yeroeh, Yeroeh, you shall see, and you shall be seen. Okay, so there is, so you see, I just gave you two examples, then I'm sure there are a lot more, is that everything about this parasha, Parashas Re'eh, focuses on the concept of sight, of Re'iyah, not on the concept of Shemiyah. Shemiyah is a theme. Shemiyah is a theme for the rest of the Torah, whereas Re'iyah is the theme of this week's parasha. Okay, I'll give you one more example. This is the Baal HaTurim. Okay. You know, maybe we should just permanently close the door. We can lock the door for the shir.
Can't close the back door. They put cases of
anyone who wants to come in should come around from the front, because I mean this is non-stop. Non-stop. Maybe we could lock the door. Just keep the door, the back door locked. I mean, this door, this...
Right now, you can't even close it, so that's the problem.
There's bringing deliveries for the kiddush.
Okay, so we have, I'll give you another example from the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says, Re'eh Anoichi. What is the word Anoichi? The Baal HaTurim says it's a code word for the Aseres Hadibras. The word Anochi is a code word for the Aseres HaDibros, which begins with the word Anochi. What does it say about the Aseres HaDibros? The Chol Ha'am Royin Es HaKoylois. Okay, so that is a Madrega which we thought we only had once before in Parshas Yisro, but yet that's exactly what this Parsha is telling us, that this Parsha is, no, it's a different level. We're coming now to the Elul, Mevarech Chodesh Elul, Anid Lido Di Vido Di Li. We're coming to a Tekufa now in the year when we come very, very close to Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Can you close the door, please? We come now to a time where you come now to a time in the year when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He brings His Shechina close to us, and therefore it's not the ordinary Tekufa of Shema. Okay, we're now at a time in the year of Re'iyah. Everything about this week's parasha, from beginning to end, all focuses on the theme of Re'iyah. So let's review the basic ideas. Re'eh, there is no Zoyar on Parshas Re'eh. Zoyar always begins with the concept of Ta'kom Chazi. We don't need that. We don't need a Zoyar because the parasha itself begins with the word Re'eh. The parasha Re'eh Anochi, Anochi is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Elokecha, when it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, there's a way to hear the Aseres HaDibros with the word Shemia, and there is the Aseres HaDibros with the word Royim, to see Es HaKolos. Here we are instructed to elevate ourselves to a higher level of Re'iyah. The other two examples was Shiloi. We have over here in this week's parasha, we emphasize very much the theme of Shiloi at least twice. First, Shiloi stands alone, and then when it says Ki Leivasim Anata El HaMenucha V'El HaNachala, Menucha refers to Shiloi. The whole meaning of Shiloi is as long as you can see. When you can see, you connect yourself to Mishkan Shiloi through the Koyach of Re'iyah. And the end of the parasha is Shiloi Shpam Hashana Yeroeh Kol Zuchorcha. So Parsha Asra'eh is the Parsha of the Koyach of Re'iyah, Einoi Doime Shemiya L'Re'iyah. A picture is worth a thousand words. A person can speak for a thousand words and describe something to you, you're still not going to perfectly understand exactly what it means, but when you show a person the picture for 1 second, you immediately have an appreciation exactly, you have the full picture, you see what it means. That's the Milo of this week's Parsha. It's a parsha, we focus on the Koyach of Re'iyah, and it's not just a parsha, it's also a Zman. We're coming now to a time of the year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is opening up the Shemayim, He's giving us the ability in our mind to see things in a different dimension, a different perspective, which is a much higher level, and it's only for us to take advantage, to chap around, take advantage of this kuf, of this period of time in the year, when with Zoicher we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Koyach of Re'iyah, not just the Koyach of Shemiyah. Okay, let's now go to another idea. This is a simple idea, just a short idea. We have over here Parsha of Parsha. So Elul Elul is Ani Lidoidi Vidoidi Li. That's the common Rosh Tevos of the word Elul. I came across another very beautiful Rosh Tevos, not in order of the words, but it's what Moshe said to Yisro. L'cha itanu ve'itavnu lach. Moshe said to Yisro, Yisro, come with us. Don't abandon us. Don't go back to your land where you've come from. Come with us, ve'itav nulach, and we will be good to you. That's really what El is all about. Hashem says, L'cho itanu, come with us. Come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mevakesh, the Klal Yisro. Don't abandon the Torah. Don't abandon Klal Yisro. Don't abandon Hashem. L'cho itanu, come with everything that Klal Yisrael has to offer, v'hitavnu loch, and it will be good for you. What is the meaning of toif? Last week we spoke about the positive. The first time the Torah of Purim referred in this sentence in Torah reference to a human being is l'toif heyois adam levada. Simply this means it's not good for a man to be without a wife. Es eloi ezer kenegda. Last week we said a deeper interpretation that when it says Lo'toyv Hayoyz Adam Levado, it really refers to his parents. It's not good that Adam should be Levadoi. Adam was a person, was the only person that did not have parents. Parents are a source of Musar, Hadracha, guidance to a person. So we explained last week on the Pasuk, Lo'toyv Hayoyz Adam Levado, is really a reference. Hashem was complaining, Hashem was was saying that it's not good that Adam should be in the matzah where he did not have parents. The only way we can recreate the dugma of what it means to have parents is through marriage. Marriage, you'll have your own children, you'll have a relationship, and that forced the person to reflect upon what it was like to have parents, what his parents did for him, and therefore, even though Adam did not have parents, but at least will give him a dugma of what it must have been like to have parents. I remember I told you this thing from Rav Simcha Wasserman. Rav Simcha Wasserman did not have children, and yet he used to give shmuzim on how to raise children, hadrach of raising children. So someone once had the chutzpah to say to Rav Simcha Wasserman, to say to him, how can you give shiurim on raising children when you yourself did not have children? So he said, you're right. However, I watched my parents raise me. So I didn't have children, but I know what it's all about from watching my parents. So it's the same thing. It's not good that Adam should be alone without parents. What could I do for him? I can't give him parents, but I can give him children. And by giving him children, he'll now be put in the position of being a father. So when he'll be in a position of being a father, he'll have a wife and be a father, now he could appreciate theoretically what it was like to have a father. If he's in a position of giving over to his children, this is the opposite of Simcha Wasserman. If he's now in a position of giving over to his children, so now in his mind he can now have an appreciation of what it must have been like to have a father. If I had a father, my father would have told me to do this and to do that. That's a deeper meaning of what it means. Loitoyv hayoyis adam levado. Now I want to give you a third interpretation, and that applies to Elo. Loitoyv hayoyis adam levado means it's not good for man to be without a God. Hashem created Adam, and Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world in a state of hester ponim. Hashem said, "Asha amar le'olam odai." Hashem hid himself. Hashem created this world. And Hashem created the world in such a way where it was not obvious that there was a creator. That's all part of the creation. Sh'omar li'oylamoy, die. I want to be anonymous. I want the world to be anonymous. I don't want to take credit for this world. And there is Adam. And Adam followed suit. He opened up the first book of creation, and it says author anonymous. No, so there is no God. That's Adam. He came into the world. There's no God. And Hashem doesn't want it to be a God. Hashem made the world, an anonymous world. So Hashem says, I have charata. I have charata, but Hashem says, Loitoif. It's not good, heyois Adam levado. This plan of mine, that it should be anonymous, it's no good. Because Adam doesn't see there's a God. He's all alone. He's living a life without a God. A Ribbono Shel Olam. I got to wake him up and show him that really indeed there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. How am I going to do that? I'm going to make Adam into a Yotzer. I'm going to allow Adam to be a creator like me. He's going to get married. He's going to have children. He's going to be a Yotzer, a creator. Amazing thing. You bring another person into this world. There's nothing more amazing in the whole world than bringing into this world another human being. When that happens, Adam's going to say to himself, wow, if I'm a Yoitzer, it must be someone created me also. It must be there's a Ribbono Shel Olam also. So the word toiv, what I'm telling you now is, lo toiv heyois Adam levado, it's not good for a human being to be in this world without a Ribbono Shel Olam, without being makir, there's a creator. And Adam, if I don't let him get married, and I don't give him the opportunity to have children, he will never know. I'm saying that because it's not, I don't think so. He'll never, never know that this world was created by the Ribbono Shel Olam. He'll think the world came into existence by the Big Bang. I don't know, go look up in the encyclopedias, all these apikorsis. Because that's what I wanted, Hashem said. That's why I made the world. I made the world that I should be invisible. So what do you expect from man? Oh, but now when Adam gets married and has a child and he becomes a Yoitzer, the charade is over. He'll go back to the beginning of the book and he'll pen in author of the Bible by Ribbono Shel Olam.
But it says, Vayomer Elokim.
Vayomer Elokim is, it's not a kasha. Vayomer Elokim, but Hashem did not, Hashem, Sh'omar Shakai. Le'omar le'oilomoy, die. which Chazal interpret to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world of Hester upon him. It is not obvious in this world from science that there is a creator. It's not. You cannot prove scientifically. Anyone that tells you all of these books, they're very disturbing. There's a plethora of books out there. I'll let you out the audience. You can whatever you want if you want. Let me just finish my thought. There's a plethora of books every day that are coming out to show, to prove that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists. These books are very disturbing, to me at least, because, yeah, they're very nice. I'll read the whole book from beginning to end. It does make a bit of a difference. Because all the proofs that they bring, you can argue, pumfakert. The bottom line is, do you believe or do you not believe? All of these proofs that there's a creator are all icing on the cake. After you believe, everything now makes perfect sense. If you don't believe, no. So it's you have a proof, water off a duck. It doesn't impress me. The ikar is emuna pshuta. If you don't have the emuna pshuta, it's not going to help you. All of these proofs, these scientific proofs, it's not really going to make a dent. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a world where he did not want to be proven scientifically, and that's the way it would have been if Adam remained had the whole world for himself. Loi toiv! It's not good to be without a Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to do something for you. I'm gonna give you a technique like getting married, having children. Now let me just remember. Therefore, this is Elul. Elul is Rashi Tevois. The Ribbono Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael, the Torah. Let's say all three together. A Yisrael, the Oiraiso, the Kudsha Bruchu. They're saying to us, L'choyitanu, come with us. And it'll be good for you. The toiv is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Come with us. Go through the experience of what El has to offer. The tshuva, the shofar, the slichos. By doing all of these things, you'll wake up out of your slumber. Toiv. And then you'll find the Ribbono Shel Olam. You'll no longer be in a matzav of lo toiv heyos adam levado. You won't be alone anymore. You'll be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It will be the ultimate toiv. Yes, Rav Meir. It better be good. It better be good.
Okay, Albert Einstein, the scientist, everything was logical.
Yeah.
He said that coincidence is God's way of being anonymous.
Oh, exactly. Right. Anonymous.
And is it, actually, you can learn the light toiv. You can agree on it. Light toiv, you think everything is not good? Be alone. You be the only guy and you make the whatever you want to do. See if it'll be better. Because you need two people to make
it. You need two to be good. Okay.
So be alone.
The biggest proof that's offered is that even if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, it's possible that the world will come out as perfect or imperfect, whatever, as it is. So therefore, that's the proof.
There are a million proofs. There's libraries of proofs. There's a million proofs. But the bottom line is that all these proofs are so powerful. How come there's a whole world not be crossing out there? How come? Well, they don't believe in all the proofs?
Design.
The answer is that you don't believe, you don't believe. You don't want to believe, you don't want to believe. All the proofs can be right in your face. If you don't open up your eyes, Re'eh, if you're not going to open up your eyes to see the Ribbono Shel Olam, all the proofs are not going to make one bit of a difference. That's the way it is. My favorite proof, I don't know why, it just resonates with me the most, is when Apollo 1, when they came to the moon, they told the scientists, the world is how many trillion years old? I don't know, since the Big Bang. And they know for a fact there's something called space dust. I don't know what their fancy term for this term is. And therefore, there has to be on the moon, there has to be dust. And they made a calculation, it has to be something like I don't know, a certain number of feet of dust.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk on the moon, there's going to be a lot of, they have big boots, and then they practice because of the dust. That's going to be on the moon because the world has been around for how many billions of years. They came there, and one of the biggest shocks to scientists was there was no dust on the moon. There was a teeny, teeny amount of dust on the moon. And according to their own calculations that they made originally, the amount of dust they found on the moon, it means the moon's only been around for 6,000 years. So what happened to that fact? Then the formula was mistaken. The formula was mistaken, so they just swept the dust under the rug. instead of being makir that the world is only 6,000 years old, no. So that's not a teeny, that's not even such a great example. But I'm just saying over here, If you don't want to believe, it's not going to. You're not going to believe. You're not going. Okay, let's go further. This is later. Next, let's go to another. Let's go to another idea. New idea. Okay, now this idea, it's a little controversial. You may not like this idea, but let's try it anyway. Pasuk Chavtes. V'haya ki yivyach Hashem lekecha l'aretz hashata v'Hashem l'rishta. Hashem is going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. V'nasatos habrach al har grizim yes hakol al har evil. Hashem is going to present you with brach and klala. That's the world that we live in. We live in a very difficult world. No one has it easy. No one came to this world for a free lunch. Everyone that came to this world has challenges. There's bracha. People baruch Hashem, they're blessed. They have families, they have children, they have good marriages, they have parnasa. There's always what to be thankful for in life. And Rachmana Litzlan, now every single person has a peckle. There's no living creature in this world that does not have something which he struggles with. This is a reality of life, and anyone tells you otherwise is faking you out. Everyone, you don't know what's doing by someone else. You'd be shocked if you look around, people around you know all the time, you see them in shul, if you know what they're dealing with, what's going on behind the scenes, you wouldn't believe it. Everyone is carrying, to some degree, unfortunately, a peckle. So this bracha, I don't want to say it's klala, but klala over here will loosely translate for difficulty. And then the next pasuk goes on, something very bizarre. Goes on to say, where are these mountains? Where is Har Grizim and Har Evil, the place of Baruch and Klala? I'll tell you exactly where it is. Haloi Hema, are they not? The Eder HaYarden, on the other side of the Yarden. So if you remember, they're still on the east bank. They have not yet crossed over. Acharei Derech Mevo HaShemesh, all the way on the west, where the sun sets. Okay, L'char Mevo HaShemesh, where the sun goes down, the Eretz HaKanani, in the land of the Canaanim. Hayayshei Barava, that dwells in the lowland. Arava, it's a low, it's Arava. Arava is like a low, barren land. Mul HaGilgol, Eitzel near Elone Moreh, which Rashi says is Shechem. Now, I want to say a drush. Rashi says in the previous pasuk, Haloi Hemop, Lamed, Nosan Bohem Simen. Hashem is giving them a sign, giving them a coordinates, GPS coordinates. Okay, latitude, exactly where is Har Grizim, Har Evel. Here, Hashem is telling you exactly, MapQuest, GPS, Waze, whatever we want to use to get to your destination. Hashem is telling you exactly where it is. Nosan Bohem Simen. And then the next pasuk goes on to tell you exactly where it's located. I want to say a drush. Nosan Bohem Simen means, like we say in davening, Harenu Ois L'Toivah. Many, there are some mystics among us, and they always look at events as a simen. It's a simen min hashamayim. If this happened today, there's going to be a solar eclipse, right? That's the big time. Baba, Monday. It's Monday, right?
Monday.
Okay, so Monday, I want to give a shiur. I want to prepare. So try to come Monday. Monday, we'll spend some time on going over this. No, you don't make a bracha. On Monday, Mirat Hashem, Monday, we're not in the zone. We're not in the zone, so it's not okay us. But Monday, Mirat Hashem, I want to talk about the solar eclipse in Halacha. I've collected a lot of material, a lot of very interesting things about what does Halacha, what do Chazal say about solar eclipse. There's a lot of geshmak and stuff. So Mirat Hashem, Monday, we'll talk about that. But people always like to say there's a simen. If this happened, it rained today. Oh, it rained Erev Shabbos. There was a downpour. There was a torrent. It was mamash a flood. It's a simen. If this happened, it's a simen. If this a good event happened, is that people like people? There are people that like this. Is there something to it? Listen, I don't know. Everyone is different. Everyone has different spiritual sense. Everyone has a different spiritual sensitivity. Get into halacha of menachesh, mechashef. It's only when you make decisions. That's a sugya to itself. But there's definitely in halacha, simoni mils. Chazal say, simoni mils. You can't deny that the fact. That's halacha, rashana, simoni mils. You can't deny the fact. There is such a concept. So what I want to over here say is that over here, nosan bohem sim. Bohem is referring to, is Hashem is telling you that even in the most difficult, even in different situations, you can always find a simon for bracha and klala. Now what do we mean? The next pasuk, if you look at the next pasuk, you can read the next pasuk, every single thing here is the ultimate degree of hester panim. Halo hema, where are these simonim? The Eder Hayardin. Eder Hayardin in this context means far, far away. You're in a land, you're in a, Acharei derech mevoy hashemesh, after the sun sets, a time of darkness. Be'eretz haKenani, haKenanim was the Kenanim were the worst of the worst. A land they're shotuf and zima, shotuf immersed in avodah zara. Hayoshe ba'arava, arava is a lowland. There's nothing there. Arava is a lowland. There's nothing growing there. It's a desolation. Mul, the opposite of a Gilgal. Gilgal was a place of miracles. He said in the Kinois, the Pile Gilgal. Show us the Piloim of Gilgal. That's when Hashem stopped the sun and the moon in honor of Yahushua in order to do miracles. Eitzel Elonei Moreh. Elonei Moreh is Shechem, near Shechem. What happened in Shechem? All of the greatest tragedies in Klal Yisrael happened in Shechem. They sold Yosef in Shechem. They sold the mice of Dina took place in Shechem. All of the greatest tragedies took place in Shechem. So look at this. This whole pasuk, if you read the pasuk on a more midrashic, a more homiletic interpretation, is describing the ultimate degree of hester upon him. Every expression here has a connotation of defeat, of despair, of yeyosh. Eiver hayarden, which means far away in the other side of the world. Derech, where it's complete darkness, mevo hashemesh. In the land of the Canaan, which means the land of the Goyim, the worst Goyim, you're sunk in the land of Golus. Barava, you're in a low land, not in the land of elevation. Gilgal, the opposite of many miracles. What Gilgal represents, one of the first miracles of Klal Yisrael, when they came into him, Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua, a Gilgal, Doim, the sun stopped. Eitz Eloni Moreh, Moreh Eloni Shechem was all the greatest tragedies. And yet, you know what the Pasuk says? The Pasuk says, Haloi Hema. Even behastara shebesoicha hastara gam ani sham, I'm there. Halahema, you'll find simonim. You'll be able to see even in the greatest hastara bracha uklala. There is no place in the world. There is no situation in the world that is void of the ribbono shel olam. Even in this, which is klala, okay, that's the pshuta shel mikra halahema. Halahim, this is klala. All of these expressions of Hester Panim that we went through the pasuk already twice, all the different expressions, they represent the greatest intensity of Hester Panim, which l'chayr is klala, in Achnami. That's where you're going to find klala. Halahim. But there are nosan bohem simen. Bohem means both the bracha and the klala. The klala is the obvious. But even in the matziv of klala, you'll also be able to see a simen of bracha. Even the classic example we always give is the Holocaust. The Nazis, yimach shemam v'zichram, they put on the entranceway to the gas chambers or to some, I don't know the exact details, the poroiches from one of the very famous shvatei kenesios in Europe. And had they did it on purpose, and it said on it, Ze Hashar La Hashem Sadikim Yovahuvo. And many people who survived, they went off the derech because of this, because they couldn't deal. How could it be that the Adkatekach to take from the Aron HaKodesh and to put on the entrance of the gas chamber, Ze Hashar La Hashem? And other people said, Mamish, this is a simen. Enochinami, Ze Hashar La Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected us to die Al Kiddush Hashem, to be a carbon. For whatever reason, Hashem's reasons are beyond our understanding. That's his right. That's exactly what this is. The gas chambers are the Shar La Hashem. Tzadikim Yovohu Vot. Hashem has selected us. Rav Chanan Wasserman said, if Hashem has selected us to serve as a carbon for Klal Yisrael, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values us. He holds us to be tzadik. That's exactly what he said. Rav Chanan Wasserman, if we are now being taken to be killed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he holds us to be very worthy people. It's a very great haskama, and therefore we should be metaher. Our machshavos, our minds, our sacrifice is going to bring Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael on the other end of the world, and he's sitting in America with the She'eris HaPleita. They're going to thrive and they're going to succeed because we are, Hashem has selected us. So look at this. This is the greatest, greatest degree of Hester Panim. There's no greater Hester Panim than the Holocaust and the concentration camps in the entranceway to the gas chambers. It's Acharei. It's the Eiver HaYardein. It's Acharei Mevoi HaShemesh. It's dark. You're dealing with the Kenanim, the Nazis, the lowest of the low. It's Barava. There's nothing here. It's a low place, a place of a lowland, a place of lowliness, of nothingness. Mul HaGilgal. Did you see a miracle? When was the last time you saw a miracle in the concentration camp? There were no miracles. It's the opposite, the diametric opposite of Gilgal, of the Mifsim of Yoshua, where the sun and the moon stop. It's Eloni Moreh, a Mokum of Tzara, Shechem. And yet, the Pasuk begins, Ha'aloi Hema, Nosan Bohem. Bohem is both the Bracha and the Klala. The Klala is obvious. But there's Bracha here as well. Look for it. Look for the bracha even in the Hester Panim, like Rav Nachman ben Breslov, the famous song that everyone sings, Afilu behastara shebesoicha hastara. How does it conclude? I don't remember the exact words. Gam ani shamo. Whatever it goes on, Hashem is there as well. I'm standing there behind the wall. I'm protecting you. Afilu behastara shebesoicha hastara. Okay, let's go to another idea. The next idea is going to be a chazak. Let's go to the idea of rak chazak v'vilti echol hadam. Let's jump ahead to pasuk chaf gimel. Perek yud beis, pasuk chaf gimel, the pasuk says, rak chazak, be strong. L'vilti echol hadam, do not eat blood. Ki adam hu ha'nofesh, v'lo sechal ha'nefesh im ha'basa, do not eat eivir menachai. Rashi here has two opposite interpretations of this pasuk. Why does it say the word chazak? Why do we need to say chazak when it comes to eating blood? So Rashi first says, "Mashenemar chazak atolamed." The fact that the Torah has to be strong, this tells us that a person atolamed shayu shetufim bedam laochloi. People they relished, they loved blood. Blood was like a slurpee in today's times. It was delicious. Can you go into the store and you have a blood slurpee? This was delicious. And the people were chalishing. They were chalishing when they were living in Mitzrayim. They were chalishing to have blood. And now Hashem went and put the brakes on this unhealthy diet. Hashem said, "Rak chazak levilti achal adam." Even though you love it, your neshama has a yearning. You have to be mechazek yourself. No more blood. And then the Gemara goes on. The Seder of Shimon ben Azai says, fine, that's the first interpretation. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. Along comes Rabbi Shimon and says, Mamish pumfa karet mi kotze l'kotze. Rabbi Shimon, as I says, blood is disgusting. It is absolutely detestable. And it's not healthy. It's not. There's nothing good about blood. So you don't need to tell me chazak. It's not necessary to say rach chazak. So why did it say chazak? To tell you, even, that's right, even a mitzvah that your neshama detests, in other words, an object which your neshama detests, and it's so easy, watch out, the Yetzer Hara is very clever. The Yetzer Hara will get you to drink blood. Okay, you ever see these reality shows? They do these crazy things. The Yetzer Hara is going to get you to eat, to drink blood. So therefore, and what are the words of the Gemara? You have to be mechazek. Im adam shu kal yishama minenu, shen adam misave lo yavil desire, chutzrach lechazakcha, behazarasai, kal v'choymer l'sham mitzvos which your neshama desires. So we have over here two diametrically opposite interpretations of the word chazak. According to the first interpretation, Rabbi Yehuda, he was on the understanding that the Jews who left Egypt, they had an intense longing for blood. And they needed therapy. They needed professional therapy in order to train them, chazak, don't drink the blood. According to the second interpretation, there's nothing more, they hated more than blood. It was disgusting in their eyes. Yet the Torah says chazak because you never know. You never know what the Yetzar can do to you, can make you do a mitzvah that you never in a million years think of doing. And if this is true when it comes to a mitzvah which Meshama detests, loathes, Allah has kam v'kama, how much you have to be careful when it comes to mitzvahs, arayos, ma'achodas, asurais, things that your Neshama desires. Now based upon this, I want to suggest, this is the reason why we say, when we finish the Chamish HaChumash, each of the Chumash, Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek. It's a very big mystery. Where does that expression come from? Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek. We all join together. It refers to both interpretations of Rashi. You just finish a Chumash, okay? We have to wait until the Zeus HaBracha, but not that long ago we finish Bamidbar. Every time you finish a Chumash in the five Chamishei Chumashei Torah, you've been presented with many mitzvahs. Every single person, so when he looks at the mitzvahs that what he's learned, the lessons of each Chumash, the lessons that you say for me, this is a big problem. I really have some of the things that we learned about, you know, it's not for me. The Aseres Hadibros, you know, not for me. The Aseres Hadibros are, you know, they're L'Sirtzach, L'Tignoiv, L'Tinov. You know, it's not so simple. I have a hard time with this. And then there are some people, and then there are some things of the Torah where the Torah says, oh, it's a piece of cake. This thing, Avodah Zarah, piece of cake, I have no time for Avodah Zarah. So the truth is, just because some things are hard, some things are easy, you have to do both. The things that are hard, Chazak, Nimchazik yourself, overcome your Yetzirah. The things that are easy, don't become complacent. Just because it's easy, it's a piece of cake, you never know what the Yetzer will do to you. Chazak, like the opinion of Shimon ben Azai, you have to mechazek yourself, even on the easy things, you never know what the Yetzer will do to you. So Mele, when you finish one of the Chamish Chum Shei Torah, what do we say? We've gone through a whole Chumash, we've learned lessons, some things are easy, some things are hard. Chazak, Chazak. Both. Those that are hard, we will mechazek ourselves to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Those that are easy, okay, we're not going to be complacent. We're going to work on it. And if we'll do both, then v'nis chazek, then truly we'll have it all. We'll synthesize both meanings of chazak and chazak. Okay, so
did you tell us one?
Another interpretation, but that was so the three times it says chazak. What?
Did you tell us what?
I once had another interpretation of chazak and v'nis chazak. It was different shot. That was based upon the three times it says chazak in the Torah. This is different. This is a Rashi. I'm trying to say a drush. Why it says chazak? It's based upon this Rashi. Rak chazak l'dich l'adam machlokes mikotz and kotz between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Azai, and in two different interprets. And that's why we say chazak chazak. You need it twice, and we'll do both. Then v'nis chazak we will be strengthened.
So you're saying different day.
Yes.
This is a negative.
This is a different day. Today is a different Friday. Don't ask Steers from one Friday to the next.
Different derech.
Okay. Let's go to another idea. Okay, let me just see. Okay, let's talk about Alamish idea. Alamish Avar. This made an impression on me from, I think it's from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Herschel Shachter, Shlita, my father's first cousin. So one of his talmidim took his Friday shiurim, okay, his shiurim and chumash, and they put it together in a very nice sefer on his chidushim, his shiurim on the parsha. Drush, machshav in English, translated into English, or I'm not exactly. They collect from different svarim his lectures and his shiurim, choymer on the parsha. So he says of here beautifully. A lot of it is lumnus. It's not really drush. It's most of his stuff is lumnus. That's the thrust of the sefer. And he has a very beautiful var from Chaim Soloveitchik. They don't know if it's sure where it comes from, but they believe that this idea comes from Chaim Soloveitchik. There's a stira. This week's parasha we learn about the Achad Shorecha, the Beis HaMikdash. Ultimately, we're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and there in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to offer karbonos. Some Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph Kiyim Bamakim Asher Yivchar Hashem Beachad Shivotecha Sham Taale Oy Loisecha Vesham Tase Kol Hashanochim Mitzaveka. When it comes to bringing korbanos, there's only one place you bring a korban, and that is in the Beis Hamikdash. Don't have any ideas of bringing korbanos on a bum in your backyard on a mizbeach. It's forbidden. once a Beis HaMikdash has been built in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to bring korbanos, private korbanos, or any korban for that matter, on a bama. It must be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The way the pasuk emphasizes this is with this pasuk. Now, Rashi on this pasuk says, why does it say the word bi'achad shivotecha in one of your tribes? Rashi says, because Yerushalayim was in the chelik of Binyamin. Binyamin was his chelik in the land. And for that matter, the Beis HaMikdash was, we know, was really divided, the part of the Beis HaMikdash was really divided between Binyamin and Yehuda. So therefore, that's why it says in the land that belongs to one of your tribes. And this pasuk is problematic because there's a machlokes in the Gemara. If Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim was neschalko l'shvatim, was it divided among the tribes? So one opinion says that it was. It was divided. Yerushalayim was between Binyamin and Yehuda. And that is why the Mizbeach has a very funny base. The Yisrael of the Mizbeach is not a perfect square. It stops in the middle because that's where the boundary line was. It was a very bizarre boundary line. Therefore, the Mizbeach could only be built on the chelik of Binyamin, not on the chelik of Yehuda. So therefore, the Mizbeach had to be cut away in certain areas in order that it should not straddle the territory of Yehuda. So you see clearly in the Gemara, you see in practice even, that it was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yet the Gemara, there's another opinion in the Gemara that says that it was not, that it belonged to the entire Klal Yisrael. That Yerushalayim, there is no Shevet that can claim ownership in Yerushalayim. It is divided between the whole Klal Yisrael's ownership. The mind after me, when you come there, Ali Laregel, you can't charge rent. You may have paid for your apartment $6 million, but when someone wants to come and spend time in your apartment for Ali Laregel, you can't charge him rent. He owns your apartment just like you own the apartment. So how do we reconcile this contradiction in the Gemara, these two opinions? And especially when the pasuk over here says, Bi'achat Shevotecha, which says it belongs to one of your tribes. The pasuk seems to say it belongs to Shevet Binyamin. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is reported as saying is, there are Tzvei Dinim in Yerushalayim. There's a Din, Iser V'Heter, and there's a Din, Mamoin. There's a Din of money. Just like we know, when it comes to kashrus, is not about ownership. It's halacha. Is this animal, is it kosher or is it treif? Then there are dini choshei mishpat. Mama, is this belong to me or does it belong to you? So this is a very fascinating idea. That elu v'elu diri lakim chayim. Yerushalayim, there are three dinim in the kedusha of Yerushalayim. There's a din kedusha that is not ownership. It's a matter of sanctity, kedusha. That kedusha is divided, Yerushalayim. The kedusha of Yerushalayim is divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. The mizbeach can only be built on the part that belongs to Binyamin. And what about the mamonis, the actual physical acquisition? No. That's what the Gemara says. There is no aqua, no one has, and even Yehuda and Binyamin do not own what they have. It's sacred as being part of their land, but it's not their mamon. When they divided the land in Eretz Yisrael, there were two parts of the Goral. First, they divided through the Goral the land. This land is a Shevet Yehuda, Binyamin, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, we'll go through all the Shvatim. And then there was a second part where each member of the tribe, they further divided for their families. The second division is the mamonis, is the monetary acquisition that each family gets in the land itself. But that monetary acquisition in the land only comes after the land is sanctified with kedusha of who the land belongs to. Yerushalayim was unique in that it was only the first step of the division. The first step of the division was that the land was sanctified as being part of a Shevet. Bi'achat Shevotecha, it's Binyamin. Binyamin Yehuda. The second stage of acquisition, where each person took monetary possession of their chelik in the land, that never was done. That cannot be done. So in Tirish, an incredibly, I think it's in Kredan Nefer, it's Meduk in the Pasuk. Because what is over here when it says in the Pasuk, Bi'achat Shevotecha, which says Binyamin? Shom Tale Oilo Secha. Shom. It's only Bi'achat Shevotecha with regard to sanctity, bringing a sacrifice to Hashem. When you elevate yourself to Hashem in Kedusha, that's where it's Bi'achat Shevotecha, it's the property of one tribe. But as far as the monetary acquisition, the physical space to own, That never took place in Yerushalayim. You learn from this very big. The same way this is true when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, it's really true when it comes to every possession you have in your life. We own property. You own our property. You own air. You own your clothing. You own land. You own a house. You own an apartment. Whatever you own, there are two dinim in what you own. When you own something, like there's a basko. It's a basko that says in the Tzirim and Hashemayim that says the sada pleni leplenis. Before a person is born, there's a basko of three things. Who he gets married to, bas pleni leplenis, sada plenis leplenis, and what was the third thing? I forgot the third thing. Okay, one of the things is it's your property. Does that mean in Shemayim it's yours? No, it means it's shaykh to you midin the kedusha. A person has property. If you have the property, you have a purpose. There's a mission. There's a tafkid why I have this property. In addition to that, there's a second layer of I own it. I happen to own it. But just because you own something doesn't take away from the fact that there is a degree of sanctity in every object that you possess. And that degree of sanctity comes with an obligation to use it for a holy purpose. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, we see from this Yisrael of Chaim, is that there are tzei dinim in owning land in Eretz Yisrael. There's a din of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and then on top of that, there's a din in as ownership, acquisition of the land. And the nafkamina was that in Yerushalayim there was only Kedusha, but there was no acquisition. That's a Musar Haskel for every acquisition you have in your whole life. The fact that you own something means the owning, the physical, the ownership is an addition to the sanctity that's been entrusted to you in having this object, which requires you to use it for holy purposes. You have an object, you should use it for mitzvahs. It's not just something you put away in the bank and also something you put away for safekeeping. You have it, use it. Use it for a purpose of kedusha because there's another layer of ownership in everything that you own. Okay, let's go to another idea. Aser to aser. Aser to aser, person separate maestros, and then the Torah tells us what happens if the chiyirbem mecho haderech. Okay, you separate your maestros. Rusheni, maestros sheni is separated. The maestros must be eaten in Yerushalayim. So you have a large collection of fruit, or a large collection of grain, and it's too difficult for you to carry all of your the Ma'is Hasheni to Yerushalayim once you live on the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael. So what are you going to do? Yir b'cham makoyim aderech ki lo suchal seiso, you cannot carry it. Ki yir chakum b'cham makoyim asher yif Hashem lokecha lo sum shemar shom ki yivorech Hashem lokecha. So what are you going to do? V'nosato b'kosef. Simple solution. Just exchange the fruit or the grain onto cash, onto silver coins. V'tzarta ha-kesef b'yadcha, take the cash in your hand, v'halachta l'makam ha-shayif ha-shalokecha bo, and you shall go and you shall ascend to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and you'll eat it over there. Now the question over here is, what happens? What happens? You have, let's say you have grain, can you just go and say, okay, I'm going to exchange it onto some dollars. I'm going to exchange it onto bitcoins. Okay, some bitcoins. I'm going to exchange it onto some money, a check, a money I have in the bank. So what's the halacha? No good. No good. If you want to exchange the kedusha, the value of your ma'aser sheni onto cash, kesef, you have to exchange it onto a physical coin. Now what happens if you have a bar of silver, a slug, and the slug, silver has value, right? It has a lot of value, silver. I have a slug, it's not yet minted. Can I exchange the value of my ma'aser sheni onto the slug? Absolutely not. Chazal learned from the word vitzarta. Vitzarta means it must have a tsura. The slug, the silver that you have must have the image of some type of form, a minted coin, before you can use it. You can exchange the kedusha of your fruit onto this object before you go up to Eretz Yisrael. I want to suggest that this whole parasha is all a mashal, is all a dogma for us in Galus, or us in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Read the pasuk. The pasuk here says, let's read the pasuk again. First, ki yarki yirbe b'mcha haderech. We're in Galus. In Galus, we're a long way. The derech is a very long way. We've gone very, very far. How we got to America, I don't know. How somehow we got here, It's been a very long path from where we come from Eretz Yisrael. We've gone in a real real roundabout way to come over here to America. We wound up over here. Kilo suchal se'esai. We are unable to carry the weight of our, I guess, in the weight of our obligation. Ki yerchach b'mecha ha'am chazal n'fak say this because the makom ha'makom yinachim eschem baruch ha'makom baruch hu, because Kodesh Baruch Hu has been distanced from us. In Galus, unfortunately, we find ourselves being distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher yivcha Hashem lokecha l'osum shosham ki yivrech Hashem lokecha. And now Hashem has blessed you. So what are you going to do now? V'nosata b'kosef. Kosef in Chazal always means one thing. Kisufim. Silver is a code word for yearning. Person has a yearning to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be near you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do? Just lightweight. I want to come close, so I'll give some money to tzedakah. I'll do a good deed. The pasuk said it's not enough. If you really want that, you want to come close to Hashem, v'nosata, you want to give to Hashem, ba'kosef, through your kisufin, through your yearning, it's not so simple. V'tzarta ha'kesef. Hashem has very high standards. Your yearning for Hashem must have tzura. A slug is invalid. The silver has to be minted. It has to have an image, a tzura. Your yearning for Hashem can't be superficial, can't be generic, can't be boring. The yearning that we have for Hashem has to be expressed in the form of form, tzura. Tzura represents the theme of creativity. It represents the idea of hard work to make something special, something unique, something that has substance and form out of your yearning to come close to Hashem. I'll give you the classic example. I think it's the Gemara in Katan, where the Gemara talks about one of the Amoraim. I don't remember the names. I meant to look it up, but I didn't get a chance. One of the Amoraim, he told his children. His children said they're going far away. So the children's father said to the children, I want you to get a bracha. I want you to go to the Gedolei Yisrael and get a bracha before you leave. So which Gedolim? There are a lot of Gedolim out there to get a bracha from. I want you to go specifically to these Gedolim because Anoshim Shel Tzurahim. They are people of Tzura, of form. What does that mean exactly? It's not clear. There are a lot of Mefarshim that try, they struggle very much with this translation of these words. But in the most simplistic, in the most general form, it means these are people who have made something out of themselves. They came into this world as choymer, raw material, and they worked on themselves. They perfected themselves. They perfected their midos. They came over their difficulties, their limitations, their struggles, and they made out of themselves a tzura. They're self-made people. All the shem shemayim. This is true greatness. Someone that was born naturally, or someone who was born, came into this world as a genius, as with kishreinos and as grois yichus, and doesn't do anything. He relies upon his brilliance, naturally brilliant, and grois yichus. So everyone's going to respect him because my zayde is this rebbe and that rebbe, and you go through life like that. That's not called anoshim shel tzura. You're not nothing special. A person who's a self-made man, a person who goes and works on himself, makes something unique out of himself, that's an anoshim shel tzura. So that's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. We hear ki yirchach mecha haderech. We're in Golus. We're far away from the derech of the Ribbono shel Olam. Ki yirchach mecha hamakom. We're in Golus. Hashem is far from us. And now we find ourselves in a situation where we have bracha. What's the bracha? Ki yivorech Hashem elokecha. The bracha is, we woke up. Elul is oru yishenim mishinaschem. Wake up from your slumber. We woke up and we have kesef. We have kisufim. We have a yearning to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very easy. I have a yearning. I'll dive in 18 minute shachas. My standard of kashrus will be, you know, just minimum. my standards of everything in life, of religious observance, will be, all right, listen, I'll give Hashem a token donation to of my religious service. And I'm a good man. Listen, I'm better than, you know, some people, they do nothing. They don't know, they're not religious altogether. I'm the least in the Madrega of Kesef, I'm Kisufim. The Nasatz, the Torah says, very good. The Nasatz about Kesef. But make sure when you give Kesef, you don't give Hashem a slug. Okay? You give Hashem the Tzart about Kesef. Make yourself into the Anoshim Shel Tzura, of stature, of form. This is what you have to give. And by doing so, then the Holachta, you will travel El Hamakon, you'll come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll come close to the Ribono Shel Olam Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. Okay, let's just wind down with one word. Elul. Elul is Rosh HaTevos. Something to think about. Rosh HaTevos. Elul is the mazel of Aryeh. Aryeh is the mazel in the mazolos. What's the mazel of Elul? Aryeh. What does Aryeh stand for? What's the Rosh HaTevos? Famous Rosh HaTevos. Aryeh is Elul. Reish is Rosh Hashanah, Yod is Yom HaKippur, and what is Hey? Hoshana Rabba. Aryeh Sha'ot Nilam Yira. When the Aryeh roars, are you not afraid? We're now entering into the Tekufa of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hoshana Rabba. So I just want to say something very interesting. What is the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch? First halacha, what does it say in the Ramah? The first page of Shulchan Aruch, Yiskaber Kari La'avodas Boyoy. When you wake up in the morning, you have to wake up like a lion. Like a lion. Because one Talmud Chacham, I remember he said that he's very makpid on this. Very makpid. When he wakes up in the morning, he puts all he got to jump out of bed every morning, and he said, this is very, very hard. I can't do this, but Yiskaber Kari. So then everything else, you know, wasn't so great. Okay, everything else in Shulchan Aruch goes way downhill. Shabbos wasn't anything special. Kash wasn't anything special. Chayshim Mishpat didn't have such a good reputation of being such an honest person. So they said, well, what's the shot? Not an honest. Chayshim Mishpat, you're not so great. Evan Ezer, I see how you look at that girl over there across the street. I saw when you went into the store, you were looking at the women there. So Chayshim Mishpat, you know good. Evan Ezer, you know good. And Yerdei, your Kashra standards. So what is this? And Archaim is also your Shabbos. Yeah, all tzaddikol. You're tzaddikol. Yiskave Kari. So he says, I know in Shemayim they're going to get me, but I don't want them to get me on the first halacha. At least the first thing I want to get through. You know, like, who wants to be a millionaire? If you lose the first question, you get wrong. What a bizarre, right? You can get it wrong with the question. 5, 6 madrigas up, but the first question you get wrong, wow, that's a beast of disease. What?
The head of the seder gave a commencement address, and he said the first thing he says, when you get up every morning, the first thing you do is you make your bed.
You make your bed.
He says, because at least you started, you've accomplished something. When you go to sleep at night, you at least have a bed made. But if you don't start up with doing something,
right away you have to do a chesed.
Do something.
Very good.
Give a kari, you do something.
So I just want to make the following ha'ara. Yiskaber Kari. So I saw in the Sefer, why do we begin with an Ari? What's right? Yiskaber Kari? Yiskaber Kari. The inspiration. Let me take a step back. What does the Rambam say about Elul? Hekitsu Yishenim Mishinaschem. Wake up. Elul and Rosh Hashanah, why do you blow the shofar? What's the Avodah? What is the Avodah of Elul? Wake up. That's why we blow shofar, beginning Elul. The purpose of the shofar is to wake up from your slumber. So that's why it's Yiskaber Kari. Because how could a person expect to be like a lion every single morning? When you wake up in the morning, you have to think about Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. When you wake up in the morning, Yiskaber Kari, remind yourself every single morning, you know, there's going to be the Yom HaDin. And the Yom HaDin is a process. It's a process of the lion, the Aryeh. What's the Aryeh? Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. It's the entire process of Din. So Yiskaber Kari means when you wake up in the morning, you should wake up in the morning with a goal. The goal is, I'm preparing for the Yom HaDin. Not just the Yom HaDin one seat, but the Yom HaDin HaGadol. That's why Tafka right now. My Ha'ar on this is, I want to make a little bit of a twist. It doesn't say in Shehudah, Yiskaber Ka'aryeh. This Vod would be a very nice Vod if it would say Yiskaber Ka'aryeh. Because Aryeh is the Fechazal, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hoshanah Rabbah. It doesn't say that. Yiskaber Ka'aryeh. So I want to just revise the Vod just a little bit, and I think there's a bit of Musar in this. Is, don't think about Hoshanah Rabbah. Hoshanah Rabbah is the victory. When you wake up in the morning in a chnami, it should not be Yiskaber Kar. Elul is Mazel Ari. It's the process. The process is have faith. Have faith. There's going to be an Elul. There's going to be Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, and you'll come to the Hoshanah Rabbah, the great salvation. We're going through a very, very difficult point in time, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is the great salvation that comes after we go through the process. We will come out victorious in Din, Hoshanah Rabbah. But when you wake up in the morning, if you think about the great salvation, you're not going to be inspired to do the hard work to get there. So when you wake up in the morning, leave off the last S for savings. When you come off your mattress, leave off the hay for another time. When you wake up in the morning, Yiskaber Ka'ari, not like an Aryeh. Aryeh is Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hoshanah Rabbah. That's right, you have to keep in your mind, in the back of your mind, it's not going to be the big salvation at the end. But when you wake up in the morning, it's a time of hard work. Don't fantasize. Everything's going to be good. It's Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. So if Dover, you'll get the hay also at the end, but at least just the Ari. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.